Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Telling Dan my story before I do the open here. The best part about this, Dan, because you know your boy Rocket, turned out that it was a gay club. So anyways, want to call into the podcast here from Dan and I, 646-478-3753. This, of course, is the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. There's the number to call in. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, that blog went up yesterday, so you can swing on over there and catch up on that if you didn't get the chance. But you should stop by sportstimeradio.com on a fairly regular basis because you just never know what's going to pop up, especially now that it's fantasy baseball season. Of course, while you're over there, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, that would be very appreciated. But don't forget, there's also the Twitter feed, which is, come on, we know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 380.
So, you know, again, Dan, it seems like, you know, there must be quite a few people listening to the podcast that just, you know, aren't giving you and I the credit we deserve because, you know, we had been talking here and there about what, you know, what to do with the pitchers and the guys who are still out there. And now it's being reported, you know, there was interest in the Phillies that, you know, they were interested in Jake Arrieta. The report now is that they reached a contract agreement with Lance Lynn. So, you know, I know you talked about it quite a bit yesterday, adding a veteran guy to the front of that rotation. And it looks like this, you know, this may be the deal. You know, there are a few conflicting reports. There are some reports I saw that say they have just contacted him. So I'm wondering if maybe, you know, they're trying to use it as leverage against Jake Arrieta or if they've actually signed him to a deal. So we'll have to wait and see if it's kind of, if it's official down the road, but it looks like either way, you know, they're going to have an interest in picking up one of these starting pitchers, which, you know, you and I agreed it was a pretty good move for them. So we'll have to see how that shaked out.
What do you think we'll know by tomorrow?
You know, hopefully something will pop up and, you know, we'll get some news here. But yeah, I wonder if maybe, do you think possibly they're trying to use it to shake the Arrieta negotiation going, or do you think maybe they just kind of finally gave up on dealing with Arrieta's goofy demands?
I would like to say that they're trying to shake it up, but I think if they learned anything about his hometown club, that's really not going to work. Because he will not have enough time to review their deal, right?
No, you know, I mean, it's definitely, you know, going to be interesting to see how it kind of works out. I mean, you know, we've been kind of waiting and, you know, I mean, we're up against it now. What, the season starts in 27 days, right? They start March 28th.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, you're they're running out of time. I mean, you know, pitchers take a little while to get ready, and it's going to be, going to be quite interesting to see how these guys do once they actually get under contract and, you know, try to get ready and try to get going. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what they're going to get out of any of these guys now. So we'll, you know, and then I know the other big thing, I guess apparently, you know, there were reports that, that now these didn't come out, but apparently Neil Walker had some pretty in-depth conversation with the Yankees. But instead of signing Walker, they ended up making the trade for Brandon Drury. So, you know, Walker, another guy still hanging out there, you know, a veteran guy, you know, solid, you know, solid guy, solid defender, solid hitter. I mean, nothing great about him, but, you know, it's weird because, you know, you add him to the mix. I know I saw this morning they were talking about Carlos Gonzalez. You know, I know we spend a lot of time talking to pitchers about pitchers, but are you surprised some of these, you know, these position players are still hanging around out here?
I mean, you would think Neil Walker would be signed already.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying, you know, just, you know, off the top of my head, I was just trying to think who could use a, you know, a second baseman. And I was a little surprised, you know, the Brewers didn't kind of reach out and maybe try to bring him back. You know, like we talked about the Red Sox yesterday, you know, they decided to bring Nunez back, so that solved their problem. You know, but, you know, the Yankees have a hole, you know, that would have been a, you know, an interesting plug-in. So, you know, I guess that's even probably still possible. You know, I mean, but, yeah, other than that, just kind of, you know, I know we had talked about the Dodgers earlier, depending on if you were sold on Logan Forsythe, but they decided to bring Chase Utley back. You know, not only did they bring him back, they gave him a 2-year deal. So, you know, he's going to be with the Dodgers till he's like 41 or something. But yeah, I mean, you know, other than that, I, you know, unless one of the, you know, rebuilding clubs were looking for him, you get a year out of him, you know, the Padres or the Marlins or, you know, maybe the Braves, a team like that. I'm not sure, you know, or the Royals. I don't know if maybe there's a really good fit for, you know, a guy like Walker. Is he going to be kind of left out in the cold?
He might be, but, you know, I was taking a look at Arizona, and for their projection at second base is a 24-year-old, like, here we go, Ketel Marte, nicknamed the Pike.
I thought yesterday they had him projected as their starting shortstop. Let me see what the I'll pull up roster.
I wonder the projections I have. Yeah. Mine is coming from MLB.com, and, you know, they still have Nick Ahmed as their starting shortstop.
all right, let me see what Roster Resource has here. Yeah, they have Marte as the shortstop and Chris Owings as the second baseman. Oddly, They don't even have Ahmed on the major league roster.
See, so I mean, I still think, you know, for a contending team, the Diamondbacks would be a great spot to land him.
So yeah, you know, I mean, and you know, and looking at their bench, you know, it looks like they're projected to be a little outfield heavy. They do have two catchers, but one of them plays the outfield. They have Daniel Descalzo, who's a utility infielder, and then Jared Dyson and Yasmani Tomas. You know, I know they're dying to trade Tomas, but they just can't get rid of that contract. So, you know, they're a little stuck there. It looks like it's going to be one of those things where they're either going to have to eat the money. And here, yeah, they have Ahmed starting the season as the Triple-A shortstop. So, yeah, they're either going to have to eat the money and release him, or they're going to have to pay a whole bunch of the money to get somebody else to take him. But, yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be a bad fit there. I mean, even if you stick with, you know, Owens and Marte as your starting combination, I mean, Neil Walker wouldn't be a bad guy coming off the bench. You know, he can pinch hit, play a little first base as well. So, you know, it wouldn't be a bad deal there. But yeah, you know, other than that, just kind of, you know, poking around. I mean, yeah, I don't know, you know, if there's a fit for him. And I mean, you know, while we're at it, can we find a fit for Cargo? I mean, who needs an outfielder? You know, who needs a left-handed hitting outfielder? I mean, you know, in the American League, he could be a DH as well. That's where I really thought he was going to end up. But man, he's just not drawn a lot of interest. I mean, if any at all, have you even heard of teams like being interested in him? Has his name even popped up this offseason?
Not really. I mean, unless you go to a team like the Braves.
Yeah, you know, yeah, because like I was, you know, wondering. Yeah, you know, I thought for sure there's, you know, there's got to be an American League team out there who could use a, you know, use a DH, and I just wonder if maybe, you know, the Tigers would take a chance on him, you know, on just a 1-year deal. I mean, at this point, you know, what are these guys going to cost you as late as it is now? I mean,
what about your team? You know, projected rise aside from D. Gordon. I mean, how excited are you about the right and left field position?
Yeah, you know, well, I know, you know, if Mitch Haniger is healthy, you know, he's supposed to be the real deal, and when he's played, he's looked like it. You know, it's just, you know, is he ever going to be freaking healthy? And that's one of those fun questions. But, yeah, you know, I would probably take Cargo over Ben Gamel. You know, I guess my concern is, you know, is he an everyday outfielder now? I mean, would you have to spell him with a guy, or, you know, how would that kind of work out? But, you know, definitely, yeah, I think he could be a good bat there.
You know, with the other two guys in the system, I mean, maybe he could work well with them.
Yeah, you know, and I guess, you know, I know, you know, Nelly Cruz can play the outfield occasionally. Maybe they could work out something there where, you know, Nelly plays a day a week and Cargo plays a few, and then they plug in a, you know, a Gamel or somebody else to kind of, you know, to kind of fill that void. I mean, it could work there. You know, yeah, I don't know if I know like the Royals just added Duda, but you know, I'm sure they could probably use another bat. You know, I mean, their outfield right now is Jorge Bonifacio, Alex Gordon, Paulo Orlando, you know, with Jorge Soler plugged in as the DH, so that, you know, they could use another guy. I just don't know if they're, you know, willing to spend a little more money. I don't think their payroll is too bad. You know,
no, well,
they would be able to
handle the Twins
contract.
Kansas City could take it. I mean, they're at this projected this year at about, where are we at, $110 million. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of money they have to sell or spend, or how much, you know, money George Brett's making them.
Yeah, you know, and you know, again, it's, you know, it's just one of those, you know, odd things. I mean, you start looking around and you wonder, I mean, you know, are these guys going to be forced into retirement? I mean, you know, you kind of, you know, you even look at a guy like Brandon Phillips, who is going to be 37, but, you know, he fit into that utility role really nice when they started moving him around the infield. You know, I mean, these are, you know, kind of quality veteran guys that used to, you know, find places on the bench. I mean, you know, John Jay's another guy. He was fantastic for the Cubs last year, playing all three outfield positions.
Mm-hmm.
How does a team not need that? I mean, you know, your guy Melky is still hanging around. You know, I mean, say what you want about the guy, but he's still a good hitter in the majors. I mean, you know, he's a 280 to 300 hitter. And, you know, his defense is, you know, it's average or maybe a little above. But, you know, you just kind of start wondering, you know, when or if or how, or, you know, are we going to see these guys get a chance? You know, I mean, I was dying to see my guy Ichiro get one more year, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen either.
Oh, Miami didn't bring him back.
No. You know, but I know, you know, we talked about it a little yesterday. You know, Mark Reynolds is still sitting out there on the free agent market. I mean, this is a guy with, you know, legitimate 40 homer power if he was an everyday player. So, you know, you can't tell me there's not a spot on a, you know, a bench for him somewhere with that kind of bat. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, we're not spending money. I mean, I get it that, you know, we're going young, but you know, I mean, I know I totally skipped over Mike Moustakas, who can't get a deal either. You know what I mean? He's not even 30 yet. So, you know, is it too late for him to take the qualifying offer from the Royals? Go back there?
I think so. Yeah, that was only 10 days. He only had 10 days.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you know, I just kind of, you know, and you can't say that that's like holding any of these guys back from being signed, because it's not that, you know, it's not that big you're giving up a first-round draft pick anymore. So, you know, it's like, okay, here, you know, here you go. But, yeah, I'm just kind of baffled at this point on, you know, where teams are. I mean, you know, you look at these teams and it's almost like they decided, well, you know, we're not going to win anyway, so why should I pay this guy? I'll just, you know, put the money into whatever young guy is there, and I'll move along. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it kind of seems like what Miami is doing. You know, they wanted to cut payroll, and you know, Tampa Bay is kind of in that same boat. I mean, you know, you look at that team, and I mean, right now they have their DH as your guy, Gernard Spann. You can't tell me that some of the guys you and I just talked about is aren't great over Spann.
Yeah.
So. So, yeah, you know, I guess maybe I can understand why the union is a tad bit upset, but, you know, I it's just kind of the way, you know, the way it's working out, you know, they just don't seem to want to throw that money out there. And I don't know, you can't really force them, right?
Not yet, not until the 2021 CBA comes into effect and they go the route of the NBA.
Yeah. Hey, did you know that Leonis Martin is penciled in as the Tigers' starting center fielder?
Yeah.
I did not know that. So, you know, but yeah, you know, just kind of, you know, here you go. Well, there's, you know, we were talking about Neil Walker. The Tigers' scheduled starter at second base right now for the Tigers is Dixon Machado. You think Walker could be an upgrade over that? So, you know, just want to, you know, again, one of those odd things. But again, you know, the Tigers are going to be bad. So, you know, they're still riding out that Miguel Cabrera contract. How many more years is left on that thing?
Oh, I shut down. I don't even remember. 2030? I think it's for 2022.
Yeah, actually, it's till 2023 with an option for 2024. That's as far as they go, is 2024. I don't know if the contract goes on before that. Yeah, it does look like there's vesting options for 2024 and 2025. So, yeah, he's inked for quite a while. Yeah, you know, if he makes all his vesting options, he plays till 2025, he'll be 42. So, didn't you have that talk about teams taking these guys into their 40s?
Mm-hmm. That's just not going to happen anymore, and that's part of the reason, you know, J.D. Martinez did it. Why Arrieta's still sitting out there.
So, yeah, God, that's just kind of nuts to think that Cabrera is signed for that long. So, I mean, that's 7 more years. Good Lord. Who signed him to that contract? They should fire that guy. I'm sure they probably did by now.
I mean, when was that signed? Was it in 2013 or 14?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if they have the I'm using here. I don't know if they have the start date of the contract on it. Actually, 2016. He got 8 years with the two vesting years. So he was, the first year of the contract was 2016. So, for 8 years at $248 million, not counting the two vesting years. The next 4 years, he's due $30 million. Then it jumps to $32 million after that. Do you really, and I know, his numbers are, headed a little down. Last year he had a bit of a down year. I still think he's a quality player. I'm just not sure if I'm sold on him being a $30 million guy. Are you?
Not anymore.
Yeah, I know, he's had injury issues two of the last 3 years, but like last year he did play in 130 games, but I know he was dinged up quite a bit. Just 16 bombs and only hit .249. Now we're talking about a guy who's got a .317 career average. So that's a down year for this guy. And former Triple Crown winner, even though they did everything they could to take that award away from him and give the MVP to Mike Trout that year. But, he's got, two MVPs, 11 All-Stars. He's actually won 4 batting titles, which is another stat that nobody gives a crap about anymore. But, to me, it's still a big deal if you can win a batting title through a full season. I don't know. You got to kind of wonder, how much he's actually worth now. Probably not $30 million. I did see, Dan, they made some predictions for some of these guys that are still hanging around out here. So let's see if you agree or disagree, or maybe you like one of these teams. At this point, they have Arrieta sign in with the Brewers, the Phillies, the Nationals, the Cardinals, the Twins, or the Angels. I'm surprised the Dodgers aren't on this list, but are you on board here? You got him going one of these places, or you got another team in mind?
Who is the guy?
Jake Arrieta.
I still see him going to the Nationals.
All right. Then we have Mike Moustakas here. They have him, the Cardinals, the White Sox, the Braves, the Phillies, or back to the Royals.
I really think he'll end up going back home.
All right, let's throw Lance Lynn out here since nothing's came across as official. They have Lynn with the Brewers, Phillies, Nationals, Twins, Angels, Orioles, or Mariners. So... Where do you like his fit? Do you think Philly's the place for him, or you got one of those other teams, or you got somebody else in mind?
I think Philly's the place for him, but, your team could probably use a guy like him.
Especially if Felix is hurt. I know Erasmo Ramirez is already hurt, so their injuries are starting again. All right, we got Greg Holland. And, the only closer left on the market, Greg Holland. Again, another little bit of surprise that nobody, picked him up here. You're going to hear a lot of the same names here. They like the Cardinals, Cubs, Angels, Diamondbacks, back to the Rockies, the Astros, or the Phillies for Holland. You got a spot for him in mind?
Kind of the Angels.
Yeah, I am kind of curious who's going to close there, but let's see. All right, here we go. Our favorite guy, Dan, Alex Cobb. Apparently still holding out for $20 million. I did see somewhere, is it this article? Let me see if I can check this real quick. It does say that Cobb is willing to sign a 4-year deal worth $70 million, Dan. So if you think he's worth that, there you go. He came down on his price a little. He only wants, what does that equal? Let's see, that's 1, 10,
17, 10,
10 12 million. 17. Yeah, $17 million, okay, yeah. All right, now here, again, a lot of the same teams. They got Cobb. The best fits for Cobb are the Brewers, Phillies, Nationals, Twins, Orioles, or Mariners. You think one of those teams are going 4 years at $70 million for Cobb?
The Twins or the O's. The Orioles really need somebody.
All right.
So.
you wonder if they're going to add. All right, there. You know, there is one. You know, I guess you would call him a top tier catcher. He was a couple years ago. Jonathan Lucroy still hanging around. They have his best fit down to 14. We got the A's, the Nationals, the Brewers, or the Blue Jays as a destination for Jonathan Lucroy. You like one of those?
The Nationals.
All right. Here's our guy, Neil Walker. We were just talking about him. They've got three good fits for Walker. Back to the Brewers, the Detroit Tigers, or the Tampa Bay Rays. You like one of them, or you got something else in mind?
I think the Tigers would be a good fit.
So, and then we, again, Cargo, we just talked about him. They got four teams for Cargo. You like the Orioles, back to the Rockies, the White Sox, or the Royals, or do you got another team in mind for Cargo?
You know, I don't like to use the White Sox name because I feel like they're still building, but he might be a good fit there if they get him maybe 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder if they get him at 1 year, if he does well, maybe they could move him for some more prospects, you know, around the trading deadline. You wonder if that would be something, you know, if it'd be worth it for them to look at something like. And then the last guy, Dan, John Jay, we talked a lot about him as well here. They have him Orioles, Royals, Tigers, Braves, Marlins, or Nationals. You like one of those landing spots for John Jay?
I think if he gets a couple of years, it'll be with a team like the Braves.
So, and now this is our, you know, this is the website Dan and I like, MLB Trade Rumors. These are the nine guys remaining of their top 50 free agents from last offseason, or technically this offseason still. They're the nine left, and those are the landing spots that they have for them. So, you know, could be, well, you'll have to see. I don't remember how close they got. I remember the one they had was they had Arrieta going to the Brewers, but I don't think that happened. Let me see. They still have the predictions up here. Let's see how they did with their guys, Dan. So, hey, they actually had Darvish going to the Cubs, so they got that one right. So they hit on their top two guys with Darvish and J.D. Martinez. But other than that, they are they're scuffling a little bit here. So, oh, okay, well, there they got Todd Frazier is their third guy they got right. But, yeah, okay, well, they got CC going back to the Yankees. I don't know if that was a difficult – you consider that a difficult prediction, Dan? Didn't you have CC going back to the Yankees? No.
No, yeah, I was not a difficult one. I had him kind of going back to.
So far they've hit on four. I'm down to 36, and they've only hit on four of these. Let me see if I can get through the rest of the list here and see how they did. Now, there are still a couple guys out on the list. Obviously, those nine guys are still out. They could, you know, they could land spots there. So we'll have to see. Yeah, out of the 40, out of the 50 they had listed, Dan, they got four right. So not a great ratio for them on how that worked out.
I mean,
of course, they can land, but you know, if they do land the nine other ones they predicted, you know, it would be a little better for them. You know, and not the, of course, not the easiest thing in the world. Yeah, not the easiest thing in the world to predict these, right?
No, and I didn't bother this offseason to look at if they did the contest again. Because, I mean, I think we both tried, and that was just so difficult to keep up with.
Yeah, I stunk. I was so bad at that. You know, I looked for it, but I didn't see it. I'm sure they did it. I probably just missed it, so...
Yeah, well, they didn't have, like, an easy link to it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
They just didn't want that many people getting into it.
I mean, I'm sure it was probably tougher, you know, probably tougher to track when you got, you know, hundreds of thousands of entries and, you know, some of them as bad as, you know, mine was. I wouldn't want to track mine either. Well, mine was probably easy to track. I don't even know if I got a guy right last year, so... You know, just one of those one of the, you know, well, that kind of fits with, you know, the way things go for me. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see. But now I did want to ask you, you know, this caused some concern for Schaumburg Stu. Yu Darvish scratched from his start today, Dan. They're saying it was a stomach issue, which kind of led me to believe maybe he was just sick, but bigger control, bigger concern?
You know, I was listening to majority of the broadcast, and, you know, it was pretty much said that he wasn't feeling well, and, you know, if this were the regular season, this was something he could have done, but since it is spring training, there's no point.
All right, so we can reel Stu in off the ledge. He's not panicked that there's already some kind of Darvish injury that they're covering up.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
All right, yeah, that was a big concern. You know, I got the panicked email about, you know, him being scratched, and I was like, oh boy, what's going on? So, but yeah, I didn't hear anything else about it. All I saw was, you know, they put stomach issue. So.
Is that a lower body issue?
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, you gotta wonder if they're, you know, it's kind of the, you know, the hockey thing. They just say, hey, you know, it's just a lower body issue. So, you know, we'll, but that's good. I'm glad it doesn't sound like it's anything serious, and we can, you know, we can get Stu to relax a little bit. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think it just. Kind of adds to the anticipation of getting him in there and actually seeing him go for a couple innings in a Cubs uni.
Yeah, you know, and I did see, I think the Cubs were the first team to announce their rotation. You know, they came out earlier and said John Lester would start opening day, and now they've reported that it will be Kyle Hendricks 2, Darvish will be 3, and then Jose Quintana 4, and Tyler Chatwood 5. I was a little surprised Darvish was going to be 3. Were you, or how do you look at that?
I didn't see that, but yes and no. I mean, I think with Hendricks' time there, he kind of deserves it. But at the same time, I think it helps with the matchups. You know, kind of throw, I mean, you got to figure, maybe they shouldn't have done it this way, you know, coming out so early. But, you know, that's, you know, maybe that's one of those things to really screw with the rest of the league, especially, you know, the five or the other two in your division that are really going to matter, the Cardinals and the Brewers. Who's the other two teams? I forgot. Pirates and the the other team.
The Reds.
What's the other? Yeah, the Reds. Right. Yeah, there we go. I don't know why I couldn't think of it, but I mean, it kind of, you know, mixes up the matchups. And the one I was going to ask you is it John Lester opening day as in first game of the season, or, you know, opening at Wrigley?
No, or, you know, what I saw yesterday was it was John Lester opening day. So,
because okay. I believe they start on the road again, but it will be interesting because they do. Very, I think as early as the first weekend, somewhere in there. I know they're up in Milwaukee for 4 games, so it should be fun with that.
Yeah, you know what I've come to notice, Dan, is, I mean, the 2018 season hasn't even started, and it seems like all anybody's already interested in now is next off season, because, you know, everybody's talking about Bryce Harper and, you know, what he's going to get. And the interesting article I kind of caught today was, how much should the Dodgers pay Clayton Kershaw? You know, obviously he has the option to opt out. You know, I mean, I would assume he's probably going to with, you know, with the money that's out there for him. You know, what's his number? I know, they're talking for Harper, you know, 10 years at 4, and some people even said $500 million. what's the best pitcher in baseball worth?
I mean, you figure he's going to get at least 25 to 30. I think to look at him, we have to go back to Zach Greinke because he's got one of the bigger starting pitcher contracts out there right now, which I don't even remember what his astronomical numbers were. But I think you kind of get into that realm.
Well, let me hunt down your favorite search engine here, and we can Bing Zach Greinke and see what kind of dollar amount he is talking here. So where is it? Zach Greinke, there we go. All right. For the 2018 season, he will make $34 million. He makes $34.5 next year. And then for 2020 and 2021, this contract bumps to $35 million. So, yeah, there's where Greinke's sitting. You got to figure, Kershaw is going to go, above and beyond that. You just wonder how long or how far what they would be willing to reach for him. I mean, we're talking about a guy here who's just 29. He'll be 30 in 18 days. So, I mean, are we looking at, 7 years and $280 million? Is that something we're talking about with Kershaw? Is that a believable number? A base salary of about $40 million a year? I guess you gotta probably think he's definitely worth it. I mean, he's clearly the best pitcher in baseball. Even though he has had just minor injuries the last few years, but this year he's going to make a little over 35.5, but then his salary actually goes down to a little over 34.5 next year before it jumps back up to exactly what he makes this year, a little over 35.5. So he would be walking away from about $70 million, a little over $70 million by opting out. But of course, I don't think it's going to be an issue for him to turn around and just kind of make that money. Do you go 7 years with him? Do you go eight? Is he going to be an 8 year, $320 million guy? It's weird, but these are the kind of numbers we're talking about. I mean, he made 27 starts last year, so he was relatively healthy. It looks like he missed maybe three or four starts. Another year he finished second in the Cy Young. He's been in the Cy Young voting the last, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, last 8 seasons, with his worst finish being fifth. So, that's right there. I mean, he's been in the MVP voting. He did win one of those. He won two of those Cy Youngs while he was in the voting. He won that MVP. He's been in the MVP voting the top 17, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the last 7 years. So, it's clear what you're getting here. The Dodgers know what they have. And again, it's not like the Dodgers don't have the money to keep this guy. A contract like that, I don't think would be a big deal for them. And, they're one of the few teams that could go here. There aren't very many teams that are going to be able to jump up and pay these guys, the Kershaws or the Harpers, when these guys hit the free agent market. There's very few. We're looking at the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Angels, of course the Yankees, the Red Sox, those kind of teams fit in. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. And, I can't see the Dodgers in any way, shape, or form allowing this guy to go, you know, into another uniform. I mean, I know there was talk that he could possibly want to go back to Texas where he's from and play for the Rangers, which, you know, was his hometown team growing up. You know, you got to figure if he wants to go back to Texas, the Astros would fit into that mix. I couldn't even imagine the Astros staff if you added Kershaw to it with what they, you know, what they had going on. I don't know if either team could they take on that kind of contract? You know, I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, definitely possible, but you know, they can always juggle things around. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, those are the kind of numbers I think we're going to be looking at for Kershaw, you know, come next season. I mean, you know, $280 to $320 million, you know, probably 7 or 8 years. So, you know, but that's again, you know, for whatever reason, that next off season is already a really hot topic. You know, with guys like Kershaw headed into free agency, of course, Harper will be there. You know, Manny Machado is going to be another guy, you know, and if you know, any of these guys go out and have monster years or, you know, maybe win MVPs, you know, it could be, you know, even bigger number for these guys, if you could believe that. So I don't know. It's just, you know, the numbers are just baffling right now. And, you know, you do have to wonder if maybe teams looking forward to next offseason, maybe it affected this offseason a little bit and they weren't really ready to kind of start throwing out these, you know, these bigger contracts this year. I mean, you know, let's be honest. If you think you're a player in the Clayton Kershaw sweepstakes next year, you don't want to give Jake Arrieta a big deal this year. You know, or I mean, you don't want to tie yourself to an Alex Cobb who's, you know, let's face it, he's asking for ace money and he's not an ace. You know, he's not a number one guy. So why would you tie yourself to Alex Cobb for, you know, the 4 years? I mean, say, okay, well, you give him 4 years at $70 million when you can wait that year if you honestly think you have a shot at all at getting Clayton Kershaw. I mean, there's zero comparison between these guys. I mean, you're going with Kershaw all the way. So, yeah, I don't get it. Well, you know, again, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but I think I would be shocked, really shocked, if he ended up in any other uniform, Dodger uniform.
Oh. So, Ryan, you know, the addition of the CBA's competitive balance tax, that's what we're calling it, I was searching the CBA earlier and I kept putting in luxury and I forgot. It's not, what is that? The NBA that has the luxury tax. I don't remember who's got the luxury tax, but it's the competitive balance tax. And I think it's switched up. Obviously the amounts will go up, but I mean, it's rough because you look at it and who are the teams that have the money to spend on, you know, Jake, you know, to throw it away on Cobb and then even possibly be able to sign Clayton Kershaw, could possibly put themselves over it. And then the teams that really have the money to sign, or, you know, the available space to not be fined to have them sign, that might be all they do. So, you know, a team like the Royals isn't really going to sign Kershaw for 5 to 7 years at $38 million a year. And, you know, that would kind of be the end of it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, when Kershaw hits the market, there's going to be a very limited number of teams that will actually probably be able to give him what he's looking for. Because, again, you know, we're probably looking at 7 or maybe 8 years, and you got to figure the dollar amount is going to be $280 to $320 million. So, you know, I mean, you know, and you got to figure he's not going to want to go to a rebuilder. Even if they can afford him, he's not going to want to go there. So.
And where's he at? Is he about 29, 31? I can't remember.
30. He's a little over 30. Or age-wise, he is 29. He'll be 30 in 18 days.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm getting pretty good at remembering. Well, I wasn't spot on, but you know.
So yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, but yeah, it's just, and now, you know, I was talking while you were chasing down your baby there. Do you think possibly that this is next off season has already affected this off season? You know, because if you're one of these big shooters and you think you got a chance to land Kershaw, do you want to tie up your money with a Jake Arrieta or an Alex Cobb if you think you've got any chance at all at landing Kershaw?
Well, no, and that's been a lot of the talk this entire offseason is as of, you know, what next offseason brings us and why, you know, if for some reason, which I still think I would be very surprised if both of these guys didn't get signed, let alone Arrieta, that if they tried to bring in a grievance, I don't think it would hold up because, you know, a lot of teams can use, of course, like you said, the excuse of next year and, or not grievance, a collusion. That's the word I was looking for. I don't really think it would hold up. Granted, and not only because it's, you know, you can't even use the, well, Scott Boras, because Scott Boras guys have signed. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't, I think that has a huge play into it. Plus, I mean, I don't think anyone needs to really collude to not want to sign Alex Cobb to a multi-year, you know, an extremely multi-year $20 million a year deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's odd that it's collusion that you don't want to sign these guys, even though they're asking for money that is probably out of their league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, Cobb is looking for number one starter money when he's not a number one. And I'm not even sure Arrieta is the number one anymore. You know, he never was the number one with the Cubs. You know, it was always John Lester. Even when Arrieta had that great year, John Lester was still the number one. So, you know, I mean, you know,
well,
you
the only
look
way,
at it that way, you know, the numbers have come down.
Well, and the only way he's a number one is on a team without one, like the Phillies,
right,
or the Braves.
So, yeah, he's not coming into, you know, going to be able to dethrone your number one. You know, he's not that guy you bring in. So,
well, no, and even,
you know,
even that, if he's landed in Milwaukee, I don't see him being the number one there either.
Yeah, I think he would be their number one.
Oh, Jimmy Nelson's still hurt, right?
Yeah, and, you know, none of those guys, you know, Arrieta has had a dominant year where none of those guys have actually had one of those. You know, that's the one thing, you know, Arrieta has actually showed he can do it. You know, will he do it again? Who knows? I mean, there's just so many, you know, so many different components to that. But, you know, it's something that he has over all those guys. So, yeah, you know, just kind of interesting to see who finally ends up where. I mean, you know, it's just to the point of, you know, why the heck is it taking so long here?
It's probably been, would you say this, maybe not the slowest offseason for baseball, but, you know, in seasons prior, it was like they were just handing out $20 million, $30 million contracts left and right, you know, like, hey, here's your welcome package, here's $20 million, you know. And I think it's, and, you know, some people want to just kind of put it on the CBA. I don't really think it's a whole lot of the CBA. I think it's, part of it is the analytics coming into play. Because I think at this point in the analytics departments of every team, I'm assuming every team has them. And it's been like, you know, a five-year thing. You know, things always happen, especially in business, in fives. And that's when you can really see a turnaround, a change. I mean, that's something you always talk about. When the NFL draft comes around, you know, you can, you really know after 5 years where those guys are and where they were and if they didn't go anywhere. So when you look at it, I think the analytics departments have really kind of come into their own and you've got a better handle on things other than just war. And, you know, I don't know what those analytics for Jake Arrieta look like, but I can't imagine them being on the trending upwards side. You know, because that's the, I guess,
yeah,
the beauty of the analytics is you can not only look at what's going on, you know, last season, this season, but it kind of helps with projections for the next, you know, 3 to 5. Granted, it doesn't give you the best picture, but, you know, I think it helps with that decision. And I don't know. I got no more on that.
No, you know, it's definitely a, you know, an interesting, you know, interesting scenario with it. I mean, it's just who, you know, who the heck is gonna, you know, actually, you know, may, you know, finally kind of almost they bite the bullet here and, you know, take a chance with Arrieta and see if he's the, you know, see if he's the guy. So,
well,
you know, I don't know.
You've got to imagine too with the way Theo runs the office and that, and with the coach Joe Maddon, you've got to begin to wonder too if a lot of teams maybe didn't get as serious with him, aside from say the Brewers, because they really thought the Cubs were just going to re-sign him anyways, and maybe didn't think the Cubs were going to be the landing spot for you, Darvish. So that, I think, could have halted some of his, you know, possible suitors.
Yeah, probably. You know, you got to figure, you know, that's kind of how it goes. But, all right, Dan, I wanted to start something here today with you since I'm tired of talking about Jake Arrieta. You were
you bring him up every day.
I know you were. That's because there's always news about him. But you were mentioning how we kind of need to put together a list of draft busts. So I wanted to start you out with one, and I
went
back a little ways because I wanted to start with my own team. I only have one guy for you today. I'm just going to give you one guy today and probably one guy tomorrow. But I'm going back a ways. I want to go back to 1979, Dan. How old were you in 1979?
It depends what month it was.
Yes. Well, in 1979, the Seattle Mariners had the number one pick in the draft, Dan. And with that pick, they took an outfielder by the name of Al Chambers. All right. So he was a, you know, top high school player, you know, well-rated prospect. He made his major league debut in 1983, Dan, played 31 games, hit a robust 209 with one homer and seven RBIs. He spent the next couple years struggling, floundering for his career, Dan, 3 years, only 57 games, hit 208 with two home runs and 11 RBIs. Now, as you go through this draft, Andy Van Slyke went number 6. Tim Wallach went 10th. Steve Howell went 16, who was the reliever who actually ended up having a lot of problems, a lot of drug problems. And then Atlee Hammaker ended up going 21st. Steve Buscell also went in this draft. The White Sox took him 9th, but he didn't sign. So, yeah, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 quality major leaguers taken in the first round. The Mariners didn't take any of them. Their choice was Al Chambers. So he is probably the biggest draft bust in Mariner history.
Oh, you really looked into it. were you able to find any, yeah, I'm sure it's not easy, but any kind of maybe Wikipedia or any kind of little scouting report as to why they went that route?
Yeah, let me see if there's anything. It's a little difficult. you know, to hunt down kind of the older scouting reports. But yeah, you know, like I even looked on, you know, Baseball Reference, and they didn't have much on him as well. So, you know, I was hoping they would have like where he was ranked as a prospect, but I don't even know if they were doing it back then.
I don't think so.
You know, it just wasn't that big, you know, that big of a deal. So, it's, you know, it's definitely tough to find, but, you know, he did hang around play until 1988 in the Mexican League. So,
yeah, well,
you know, he
played of the dream.
Yeah. You know, he got to get out there, and, you know, he did have 57 major league games. So, you know, 57 more than you and I ever played in, but yeah, just definitely, definitely someone you have to consider a draft bust. So, you know, and then I know, you know, we're running out of time here, Dan, but I wanted to bring this one up before we did. I don't know if you caught this story yesterday, but after 10 seasons in the NFL, Matt Forte has announced his retirement. Now, Forte spent 8 years here with the Bears, and actually, he probably won't, but he should go down as one of the best running backs in team history. Obviously, Walter Payton will always be number one. But yeah. Forte had a 6,000 yard seasons with the Bears. And one of those seasons, he missed by 3 yards. So it was really close to seven. People forget in 2014, he caught 102 passes to go along with a 1,000 yard rushing season. So, you know, that's how talented this guy was. You know, he struggled the last few years with the Jets. Really, last year had a rough year, 12 games because of injury, only 381 yards, but did 37 passes. You know, he was a two-time Pro Bowler. He made the All-Rookie team in 2008. So, definitely a guy. I'm willing to guess he's probably not going to end up in the Hall of Fame. You know, not kind of quite there, but. He is closing out a career with 9,796 rushing yards. He scored 54 rushing touchdowns. He caught 554 passes in his career for 4,672 yards with 21 touchdowns there. So, you know, maybe not quite a Hall of Famer, but just a fantastic player. You know, definitely one of the all-time greats in Bears history. And, you know, he's packing it in after, a couple years with the Jets. So, you know, we have to say goodbye to Matt Forte.
How do you, I guess this might be something for tomorrow, but how do his numbers compare with Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, well, if you remember, we'll have to pull off and do a side-by-side and see how they're going. I'm willing to bet Peterson probably has more rushing yards because he had that big 2,000-yard season. But I'm sure when it comes to receiving, Forte is probably ahead of him. So, we'll maybe we can do a little more career retrospective on him tomorrow and see like where he ranks, against some of the other backs. I heard that yesterday. Threw the mention out there today before we ran out of time. We're running out of time. Dan and I are going to take off. Okay, we're back here tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. You know the deal while we're away, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Link yourself over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter, too, if you'd really like to. There's no problem with that. As always, though, big thanks for listening live. We appreciate it when you do that. But don't forget, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.